The city of Gotham gives rise to villains and darkness. Heroes and defenders of justice will rise up. The villains have chosen their dark path.
Our heroes made the choice of truth over personal happiness, and we have chosen to document it all. We are here to tell their stories. We are Gotham Undercover.
You know, every time I hear that, I want to say it along with everything.
Yeah, but indeed.
Don't you? I mouthed it along with it. So hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Gotham Undercover. I'm Karen, the Scarlet Cougar.
And I'm Jeff X-Force 11.
You need a sound effect to go with yours. You need like a X-Force, like a force.
Yeah.
This is episode 87. Of Gotham Undercover. We are part of the Golden Spiral Media Network. Find us at goldenspiralmedia.com or the show's Facebook page by searching for Gotham Undercover.
That's right. And we're talking about That Old Corpse. And this was written by Charlie Hudson, who's done work on Gotham and Powers, and Luis Shaw Melito, who's done work on Gotham, Lucifer, and CSI.
I kind of dig that they're crossing over with the Lucifer writers and directors, because they're really two of my very favorite shows. And I'm very pleased to see that Lucifer won the Save Our Shows poll, and Timeless came in second.
Oh, cool.
Because, and that's on TV Line, because those are two of my top shows. Brooklyn Nine-Nine was in the top five. All top five were in, you know, were aces with me. Mm-hmm. And then there was only one CW show on the list, and it was iZombie, and it came in seventh, which is still good.
Yeah.
So, and it was a list of like 30 shows. So, it was really a good result, I thought, that Lucifer, people wanted Lucifer back and people wanted Timeless back. And they were neck and neck. I mean, they kept switching places back and forth. And it was like 9% and then 8.7%. I mean, it was just seriously very close back and forth. So, very happy to see that.
Yeah, and it's funny. I'm doing a CSI rewatch slowly on Hulu, and saw, you know, one of the episodes directed by Lewis. I was like, hey,
same guy,
know him.
Yeah, and I've seen his name over and over again on the, you know, the comic book podcast I do.
Yeah,
because he does a lot of those shows. So, it's a good job. Let's see. Lucifer, Timeless, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Gotham are the top five.
Cool.
So it's a good smattering. We got, you know, a Fox, two Fox shows, an NBC show, two ABC, one ABC show. You know, it's a good smattering. And Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I love. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., one of my favorites. Gotham, Lucifer. It's a nice a representation of the comic book shows as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So really great turnout. Okay, so let's just jump right into the episode discussion as well, shall we?
Yeah, I mean, this episode was very good, and I gave it 9.5. You can't tell me that's not the Joker, Gotham producers.
Right?
Because I mean, we talked about the article here on the podcast saying he's not the Joker, but oh, come on. I mean,
yeah,
this episode was flat out amazing. My hands were flying so fast to take notes on this episode because of all the twists and the turns. It was just flat out amazing.
Yeah, talk about twisty. I mean, you say twists and turns. That is... Now, I had a suspicion right up front that there was going to be a twist with Jeremiah at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what it would be, but he was acting kind of hanky to me. And I thought, well, there's something going on. And I thought maybe that the gas had done something to him and he was going to flip because of the gas. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that it was, he was already, you know, crazy. So the fact that it twisted in a way I didn't expect, mm-hmm. and that he was the one on the video and, you know, all this other stuff, it just ratcheted up my enjoyment of the episode. So I gave it 9 teleology versus deontology debates, which is what the Riddler gave as an example of what he wouldn't discuss with his minions. And they were like, what? Exactly.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed that whole conversation there between the Riddler. And then he does his little MacGyver thing and he's like, do we have the handsaw? Check. Do we have the rope? Check. The pickle jar? Check. I mean, it was great, all this stuff he was asking for. So I really enjoyed this episode. They are bringing it this season. I'm quite sure we're going to get another season.
I am too. With the Fox, the head of the Fox, you know, saying that he wants more. And I really think of how good this season has been, how just so well written, and the twist and the turns. It is just amazing. I just can't see them not giving us another season. The challenge for me is thinking, okay, you know, where are we going to be? You know, what day of the week are we going to be, when we're going to start? That's kind of what I'm curious about. But right. I, you know, I'm looking forward to them giving us the information, hopefully next week.
Agreed. I want to hear as soon as possible. Uh-huh. And I want it to be another long season like this, another 22, 23 episode season. Mm-hmm. More would be good, even, but I'd be thrilled to get another 23 episode season. I don't want an abbreviated season. I'm very frustrated with Timeless right now. With a 10-episode season, I don't want a 13-episode season. I was saying to you just before we went on the air, I'm excited to see what happens in the last few episodes. We only have mm-hmm. 3 left. But I also don't want it to end. I'm so into this season of Gotham that... you know, I'm dying to see how it ends up, but I also don't want it to end. So it's just so good. And I feel like they should just write more right now and put it on over the summer. and you know, I'm glad we're getting a book, because then again, we're going to have some more content,
mm-hmm.
which is good, because that kind of held me over a little bit last
yeah.
year. But, this is one of my joys this year is Gotham.
It's really shown, I really feel like it's shown because of the tightness of the writing. It
yeah.
feels like the writers have that plan mapped out. They know where they're going. They've hit their stride. And so when you look at other shows, you just see the difference there.
Right.
And they may be good shows, but the writing is not consistent every week, and it's not, you know, overall arcing the way it should be. And Gotham has just been awesome this season.
Yeah, I would say S.H.I.E.L.D. and Gotham are way up there for writing mm-hmm. this season. I love Lucifer, but Lucifer is so frustrating this year. It's just not hitting on all cylinders. And I want it to come back, obviously, because I love the show. And it's like when you get the report card in school and it's like not living up to its potential. That's, you know, that's how I feel Lucifer is doing this year, because it's got such a great cast and great writers, and it's just not... it's not doing it for me this year. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Gotham are just on fire.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely.
Let's talk about the episode, though.
So let's do, but can we start with like the C store? Well, you go give
yeah,
your
we can do that. We can do that. Okay, so we have Face Off, and that is, of course, Jeremiah and Jerome's story, because we had a little issue there at the end with with the face. And then B story, all he needs is a paperclip and a pickle jar. That's his little MacGyver moment, and that's him breaking out Lee. And you don't want to see him angry. Now,
you wouldn't like him when he's angry.
Right. I said this in my head right at the end, because he does this stuff and he says, "Are you staring at me? Sometimes I actually catch myself in the mirror and it scares me too. And then I get angry. The longer I'm like this, the angrier I get. And that makes me very, very angry." And he said it like three times. And then I'm like, "And you don't want to see me when I'm angry." That's what I said in my head.
Yes, so, indeed.
Right? Because it sounded just like that line in my head. So that's what I used as the C story in this case. Yeah. And, you know, it wasn't a huge story.
No, but I loved the B and the C story. I kind of combined into one area in the blog post. And I said, loving and fighting like an old married couple, because you have Penguin and Butch, you know, sitting down with their TV trays and they're watching TV and they're bickering and Butch is stealing all of Penguin's food.
Right.
And he's just upset. And, was just hilarious.
You and I talked about this when he first went and recruited Butch. And we said he's promising him stuff and he's not going to deliver. And that is exactly what this conversation was about, that he promised him all this stuff and they're literally just sitting around twiddling their thumbs and he is not delivering. He's not acting on any of it. He's not finding Hugo.
I loved it. I mean, it's so hilarious. Butch is like, we talked about finding Hugo and look, you know, it's like
we're just sitting here in the mansion doing nothing. It was great. And of course, Penguin is like, well, you know, it's not our time yet. we have to find a way in that's smart. And Butch is kind of, he's taking it hard.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a right to.
Because
he was promised these things, and there, it's not only not being delivered, it's not even being worked on.
Right. And I think it's going to have to come down, and, whether that happens in the last two episodes of the season, it's going to have to come down to there's got to be something where Butch really puts his foot down and says, listen, you can't treat me like I was, you know, you were treating me. We've got to make some progress here, because he's got to stand up for himself and really advocate. And, you know, they're getting some movement now.
Do you think the chicken bones are going to do anything? Are they going to get that guy to talk?
Well, I mean, as far as that guy was concerned, I mean, he wasn't there at the later graveside scene. So as far as he's concerned, it was Jerome who was ordering him to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think that torture is going to do them much good. But, you know, I just see Butch having to get frustrated and, you know, knock some sense into Penguin, you know, to bring him to the real reality. But whether that happens or not, I'm not sure with, like I said, two episodes left in the events that we've got coming up. I don't know, but it's just fun to see them going back and forth and bickering and playing off each other. That was hilarious.
Yeah. And I loved even that line where he says, you know, is your plan to get his sympathy from, you know, bitching at him? And he said, I just wanted to see if I could get him to pee his pants. And then he says, do you want me to just, you know, shove these chicken bones in his nose to see if I can get him to talk? And he goes, yeah, that's good. It was so great. It just shows that dynamic between the two of them. Neither one of them is above the other. I mean, I think Penguin thinks he is a little bit, but he also kind of thinks he's not. I mean, there's a weird dynamic between the two of them.
Yeah.
Right now, they're twiddling their thumbs, so neither one of them is asserting themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just seems to be kind of a status quo kind of friendship thing.
Mm-hmm.
And until Butch does something, nothing's going to happen. It's just going to stay that way until something, either something from outside happens or Butch takes a stand. Nothing's going
to
happen.
Right. And I'm more apt to, I would like to see him take a stand, but I think it's going to be the other option of something outside happening.
Agreed. I think that, something is going to happen with craziness and they're going to get infiltrated or brought in by Jeremiah either way. And they're going to have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll either be unfortunate or hilarious. And we'll find out. Either way, hilarity will ensue. And so the other half of that story, which you shove together, is the Riddler Lee storyline. And Lee has a conversation with James as well.
Ooh, wow.
Which was, oh, it's so uncomfortable.
Yeah, you started to see the breakdown and you started to see a beginning of a conversation between the two of them before they got interrupted. And you just see how far apart that they are. You see kind of Lee saying, trying to set him free of saying, you know, things could be different. You can take it. You don't have to walk in this way, but we know that's who Jim is, and he's not mm-hmm. going to walk that way.
Right.
But he's at least he's contemplating it. And then he's got that conversation with Harvey, you know, say, you can let her out the back door. I'm good at looking the other way. So, right. You know, you have those things he's pondering. He's wondering if he could have done things differently, but then it gets interrupted.
And I think there's part of him that thinks she's doing something that's okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've talked about him having to move from just the soul black and white to the moving into the gray to have to be able to deal with Batman down the road.
Right.
And I think this is a progression on that line of, you know, in the past, he's worked with people that he's not been too happy about working with,
mm-hmm.
But the needs put themselves out there that he, you know, he really needed to. But I think, like you said, that he sees her way of doing things as he understands where she's coming from and wants to see, you know, some of those things come about and maybe she can do that in that way. But he's still warring within himself to say, can I let this stand or can I let it slide? You
right.
know, you can
right.
see that conflict within him.
He just wishes it was lawfully done.
Right.
He hates that he has to enforce the law.
Yeah.
A little bit. Like you said, he's playing tug of war
mm-hmm.
with that goodness inside him and that he wants her to actually help those people.
Right.
Yeah, so there's that. And it was a little squirmy for me to watch that. Mm. And especially knowing how intimate they were with each other for such a long time.
Right.
And knowing that she's saying, I'm not going to betray my friend about someone that she is currently involved with.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. even though he doesn't know.
Yeah.
It's still oogie. For me. So then Clown Face comes to save her.
That was, you know, it was so cool. He's got his little group there, and they're they open the door to the paddy wagon, and the guy's like, Riddler's here to save us.
Oh, that was so funny.
And they get the information, and the door slams.
Yeah.
And then a little later, Penguin's here to save us. Right. Don't you hate being wrong? But so he's like, okay, we can get in the back, but we got to find a costume shop. And so he comes in as this clown, and I'm just dying laughing. You know, the nose, the wig, the whole thing. And he thinks he's going to be found out when the big bulky guy comes at him. He's like, no, you need a beer, bro.
Yeah. And it's in the coffin, which I love. And later on, when they wheel the coffin by Harvey, did you see that? He opens up the coffin and he takes out two beers and he passes it out. Oh, my goodness. I was rolling.
That was hilarious.
So Harvey. And he says, this reminds me of my first apartment. When he's looking around the chaos that's in the bullpen, this reminds me of my first apartment. And
Harper was like, how long have you been, you know, how long were you there?
How long ago was it? I still live there. So great. So great. Anyway, back to the Riddler.
Yeah, but so he's got a plan, but Lee knocks him out by mistake.
Right.
He finally wakes up after, you know, he lets her talk and, you know, is like,
you were awake the whole time. I was.
And it was hilarious because she's like, you got an outfit for me? And he's like, as much as I'm into that, no. He pulls out the gas mask and planning ahead, knowing they'll come in with the tear gas.
Which was much smarter than getting a clown outfit for her.
Right, exactly.
He knows they're going to come in to save the day. And of course, in order to do that, they're going to have to disperse this angry mob, which is tear gas. Mm-hmm. And a gas mask is so much easier than trying to smuggle her out any other way.
Yeah.
And again, it's his knowledge of working there in the capacity he was, like in the bullpen.
Right.
Not like her, where she was like the ME behind the scenes. He actually knew how they would come in to disperse that scene.
Right.
And he was ready to go with the gas masks. And I liked that strategy very much. You know, he could see it was chaos and all that. I loved the scene in the back of the paddy wagon. That guy, the Riddler's here to save us, slam. And then, the Riddler's here to save us. Who could we take? That guy. Oh. Wah, wah. And of course, it's the other guy, the guy on the floor. It was just so funny. Those two storylines, I think, were like in order to lighten the episode up, because the other storyline was quite heavy.
Yeah, I agree, and it was a lot of fun. I'm having fun doing fan art this season with some of the images, and so I'm having fun doing Riddle Lee or Nigmakin's fan art, but it's a lot of fun to see those
Nigmakin's.
Two,
I love it.
The play off of each other, and so it was a lot of fun to have those kind of bookends to bring some humor into a wow storyline of the A storyline. I mean, wow.
And one thing before we get into the main storyline, James calls Alfred at one point, and Alfred is ready to go and help Bruce, but someone has thought ahead and sent some of his minions to take care of Alfred, and that's gonna get picked up, I think, in the next episode.
Yeah, I was really surprised of how that was left, that we didn't get any resolution on that, because it doesn't look too good for Alfred. You know, I mean, the blood on the floor and the scuffle, I mean, they obviously knew what kind of fighter that he was to give enough guys to come in and take him out.
Yeah.
And that seems very Jeremiah to me.
It does.
I imagine that, you know, in this time he's kind of scoped out who Bruce was and knows what kind of background Alfred has. So he sent enough guys to go make sure that they could get him.
Yeah. I'm guessing he's really hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be one thing that Bruce is going to want vengeance for, I think. Mm-hmm. So he's made a huge enemy in Bruce right now. And again, it's another part of this Joker-Batman mythos with them being arch nemeses. he is building up this resentment piece by piece. And one of the steps is taking out Alfred like that. That is a big deal to Bruce. So,
yeah. I liked the whole dynamic between Jerome and Bruce in this episode, because you have the two of them have been working together. Wayne Industries have been making these generators, but the two of them have been working hand in hand, testing things out. And you see this friendship starting to form. You see Bruce really realizing that he needs to talk Jerome down. I mean, Jeremiah down from being afraid of Jerome, and this being truthful with him, and you see him reaching out, and that makes it so much more poignant at the end when it, you know, the reveal comes, and I just see that broken friendship, because I see Jeremiah seeing, okay, we've got this friendship, we can still work together, you can push me in the areas that I need you to be pushed. And then you, on the other hand, you have Bruce being disappointed that this person that he's had a friendship with is coming apart. And it's just that dynamic to be back and forth between the two of them that will come at odds and clash and move away and come at odds and clash and move away is just exciting to see, because you just those actions and those looks and those little bits of dialogue really presented a whole lot of background and emotion in them.
It did. It's a building block, and I love it. It's the foundation, I think, that they're building here.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved seeing them in the bunker together, working on that thing. And again, it's another one of the twists, is them working on that generator and then seeing that Jeremiah was actually making them into weapons, mm-hmm, behind Bruce's back. And then seeing at the end when he walks into that room and there's just a whole room full of them, where he's gonna, I guess, use them on the city. And that was crazy.
Yeah, and I loved how at the very end the Gotham logo was glowing that same blue.
Right?
So,
Yeah. They have this way of changing their opening and closing in order to fit what's happening on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love that it's kind of a foreshadowing sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to pay attention because you might get clues as to what's happening. And mm-hmm, I really do think we're headed for some sort of cataclysmic event. That looks like enough stuff to close off Gotham.
Yeah.
To the rest of the world. And if that's what happens, Gotham's going to need a Batman. And whether that's Bruce or James or whomever, it's going to need someone.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, looking at what we talked about with the No Man's Land theme, I think I can really see that they're just going to end this season where Gotham is just in total chaos, and we'll have a time jump, and you know, by that time the sections of the city have been divided up, and we'll have these powers warring with each other, and it's gonna provide a lot of story elements to move forward on. And yeah, I like that aspect of Jeremiah where it's, you know, he is taking what his brother plotted and kind of doing it in a smarter way and in a more calculating way. So it's less about the just total anarchy and total, I don't know, craziness, where this is a plotting craziness and a well schemed craziness, and bringing these things to bear to one up his brother in ways that his brother could have never done.
Right. Right. Yeah. He is insane sane, where his brother was insane chaotic. I mean,
yeah,
I would use D&D terms, but there really isn't a D&D term, you know. I guess he was, Jerome was chaotic evil, I guess. And, what would Jeremiah be? I don't know. He's still evil, but
yeah,
just controlled.
Yeah. I wouldn't even go for lawful evil. No. So I don't know.
No.
Maybe neutral.
neutral evil. I guess neutral evil, because he's not chaotic in the least. He's not so neutral either. This is why I can't use D&D terms, but he is calculating and but
I loved the use of video. I mean, he was very smart. He keyed off, you know, the video where he was playing Jerome, keying off Jim and letting him know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole use of video in the bunker, of having the two videos side by side, where he's giving one explanation, then he's basically choking himself, and the whole reveal of him taking off the makeup, the scars and that kind of stuff.
My jaw dropped.
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what? And I loved his use of Echo / they had her noted as Mummer, but I mean, let's call it, really, come on, really, yeah. Mummer, let's call her Harley.
yeah, she's Harley. I knew it was her, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a no-brainer that it was her.
Well, and see, that's what it's like when he recognized that, when Jim recognized that it was Echo, I'm like, how is Echo really working for the deceased Jerome?
Well, see, that's where they got me, because remember, it seemed like she turned on Jeremiah a little bit in the last episode. Remember, she kind of fought him a little bit down in the bunker?
Right, yeah. She was gassed with Scarecrow's, you know, fear toxin. And so, yeah, I guess it could be.
And I thought maybe she had been given some tape or something. And when she got the tape, she had been so turned by it that she went ahead and did the instructions, because and I thought, you know, okay, well, that kind of makes sense that she would be kind of put under that spell. So I thought that, well, of course she's working for Jerome, because she turned and she's doing it. You know, it didn't even didn't even occur to me that because she's there, it means that she's working for Jeremiah. Honestly. And I think that's why they put that little beat in last week where she turns on Jeremiah a little bit.
Right. And I love the pacing and the directing of having the reveal to Jim happen at the same time it's happening to Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
Of the wiping of the face, you know, you're like, oh my goodness, because it's just beat for beat, back and forth. And that's excellent writing and excellent directing of having those two back to back.
It also makes sense because the timer on his watch goes off.
Mm-hmm.
So he is actually doing it at the same time. And it, you can tell he is because of the watch going off. Mm-hmm. So you're not like, you're not saying, well, it wouldn't happen at the same time. That's just stupid. You're saying he timed it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it's happening at the same time. And,
and
it's so great that they put those little touches in. So you're not taken out of the show and saying, how could it be happening at the same time? You know, you're seeing it and you're saying to yourself, he actually set it up so it's happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just makes it that much better that they put that little beep, 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 beep. And I mean, it's a writing thing.
Yeah.
That they said to themselves, okay, we want him to do it at the same time. So instead of just saying he does it at the same time, they say, how could we make it so that he manufactures it to happen at the same time? And you have to think about, those writers sat down and made it so we would know he actually put a plan in place to make it unfold at the same time. And he knew when the bomb was going to go off so that Bruce would see it happen so that he could say, oh, that was James dying. So that, you know, he could time his little speech so that he could point to the bomb so Bruce would know that James, I mean, that is unparalleled writing. That is just amazing.
Right. And going along with that, Jim's escape method.
Right.
Because we saw a couple episodes ago that Jim saw Jeremiah hit the button to go into the maze. Jim remembers that, grabs the blueprints for the, you know, for the device, and gets out that way.
Right.
So it's not like a, you know, they actually set it up a couple episodes ago that, you know, he can get out through the maze.
Yeah, and like, we go, oh, they showed us that. No wonder we saw that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And see, that's where I think when you have a writer's room that is so involved in the show, you may have different writers, but you've got that core there that they can bring that consistency in there to bring those callbacks to say, hey guys, we set this up for you. You can use this plot element down the road, where other shows just don't have that. They may have a writer's room, but they just don't have that consistency there. And that's very frustrating because we get spoiled when we see such good writing like this.
Right.
And then you turn around and see inconsistencies in other shows and you're like, man, you can see the Fox Network budget at work there.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to see in this first feedback, someone references Farscape. And again, I'm going to draw a parallel to Farscape. Farscape was like that too. It picked up on references that we didn't even put together until we rewatched it like a second or third time. And we're like, I can't believe I didn't see that. They put that reference in. He's holding that same ball and throwing it up in the air, and that's the ball from two episodes ago. And you know, so they did the same sort of thing on Farscape, and that's what made that show so brilliant. And I'm seeing it again echoed here in this show where they're bringing stuff around. And again, I mentioned Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well, where this season they're bringing stuff back from season one You know, they're bringing Creole back from season one, and they're bringing, you know, other things, little pieces of things back from what's it called? The element that's back. I'm blanking on it.
I know what you're talking about too.
The gravitonium.
There you go.
And the fact that the guy who was supposed to be Graviton died so easily in season one, and now this guy, the colonel, has become Graviton, essentially, has fulfilled this sort of emptiness that I had when the guy didn't become Graviton in season one. So they're, you know, bringing plot points in. And again, this is why I appreciate the writing on these shows and say, oh, these shows are so on, I want them to come back. So it's just, I mean, I've been saying this a lot in this episode of Gotham Undercover, but I mean, I hate to harp on it, but the writing, I mean, I just want to give super 100,000% props to the writing team for this episode. It's just crazy good. And of course the directing as well, because all the scenes, all the ambience in the scenes, the outside at the gravesite scenes were, even though they were like in daytime, it was still kind of washed out because it's Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
It looked overcast all the time outside. and the scenes in the room where Oswald and Butch were watching TV, it was kind of like Archie Bunker's house, but darker, right? Because they're watching TV and a bickering couple, but while the TV's flickering, it's still dark in the house, but they're, you know, they are still bickering like a couple. So I just love how they do these things on the show. And it, you know, Riddler's wearing clown makeup, so it's kind of bright in that room, but then they flash over to Lee and it gets a little brighter on Lee because I guess because she's seeing this guy that she likes on the floor, so it's brighter on her. I mean, I just don't cancel Gotham, please. Yeah. That's all I can say. So, yeah. Anything else that you want to add while I'm shutting up now?
No, I just think, the acting was well done in this episode, too. I really appreciate the beats there. And I think that it's because of the writing that gives them material to work with. And it just shows you, I just really appreciate that they give kind of up and coming and newer actors opportunity just to show off their chops and challenge established actors to do that as well. So the acting just rocked it this episode.
I agree. I wish genre shows had a chance to get awards because I think this show would deserve some.
Yeah,
definitely. But they never get nominated for anything because people look down on genre shows, even though...
Yeah, I'm frustrated with that because if you didn't have some of the genre shows doing some of this stuff, then the mainstream shows wouldn't be able to do what they do as well.
Right.
And you see... just the acting quality of different people. You look at, I'll give you an example. You look at the excellence in writing and acting of Orphan Black and how good that was and finally getting some recognition there. I see that you could not have a show which is as good and well written like Killing Eve if you didn't have Orphan Black because of the ability of people to, you know, play different characters and the twist and the turns and Fringe as well of the characters playing different versions of themselves. I just really feel like we get to pioneer stuff on the genre shows and we don't get the recognition, but in a way we kind of do because other mainstream shows do it. But yeah, I'm disappointed that way, because there's a lot of awards that deserve to be won but aren't, because of, you know, it's a genre show. Right. So anyway.
Yeah, because people look down on it. Science fiction, ugh.
Yeah.
And it's just sad that they're missing out.
Yeah.
I really feel like they're the ones that are losing out on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sad. It's like people that look down on romance novels. They're missing out. Everything's a romance. Everything. Yeah. If you look at it, I mean, there's Die Hard is a romance.
Mm-hmm. Well, the deal is, people need to recognize that there are multiple ways of telling different types of story. And it's about the human drama. It's about, you know, things are romances, things are action, things are adventure, and they can be told through different means.
Mm-hmm.
But at the core of it, it's about the people. And so you can take things that might seem weird, but you're telling a human story within them, and so it just makes it even more powerful that you're using the genre as a means to tell a human story.
Right. I know.
Yeah.
Labels. All right. So I hear we have a promo for a show that is near and dear to your heart.
Yeah. So take a listen.
There's something really strange about the town called Castle Rock.
And this summer, J.J. Abrams and Hulu are bringing some of Stephen King's Castle Rock stories to life. Or to death.
Join us, Jeff Gentry and Wayne Henderson, on the Castle Rock Show podcast, as we share your thoughts about each episode of Hulu's Castle Rock.
Listen and subscribe to the podcast and be part of the fun at CastleRockShow.com. Part of the Golden Spiral Media Podcast Network.
That's good. Right. Yeah, Wayne and I are excited, and we are even more excited that we finally got a release date of July 25th. So we will definitely – we're actually going to be doing a preview episode later this month, but we're excited about that show.
Excellent. So later in May.
Yeah, we'll have a promo out, a first show out later in May, and then we'll be in for the run in July.
Excellent, excellent. I can't wait. And I loved their treatment of Alone 2263.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to what they do with his other works.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. And I'll be listening. And if you need a guest, you just let me know.
Will do.
Okay. Because, you know, I've talked about Stephen King books before in podcasts. Mind you, some of them were not that great. But I've also been on other podcasts talking about Stephen King properties. So,
yeah.
There's that. But then there was the Under the Dome podcast.
Yeah.
And Wayne talked about that as well.
Mm-hmm. I listened to it.
Yeah. We were brothers in arms there.
Yeah.
We will forever be bonded by that experience. All right. So we have feedback. And by the way, I do have pictures of us out in front of the Suwannee Town Hall, which looks like the Super Friends hideout. And I have to put them on Facebook. So I'll also put them in the Gotham Undercover page, and I'll put them on the Made of Steel page as well. They're kind of cute with my husband and I out in front of the Suwannee Town Hall.
Nice.
It's in the background and we're all like, look, it's us. Okay, so feedback. We have a tweet from Julia Morgan, who is at Morgan Scorpion. And she says, that was one hell of a ride. Gotham's, hashtag, Gotham's more twisty and bat-esque than any show I've ever seen. And that includes hashtag Farscape. And she was the Farscape reference, I said. And then Chris has sent in some feedback, and he says, hello, everybody. Is that Echo in the Harlequin outfit? Why, yes, it is. I don't really care. All I know is that it was creepy. And you know what? It was, because it was one of those hard masks.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Yeah, after watching, what was it? Oh, that the thriller movie that they're doing a sequel for. With the three people that take, you know, over the house with a couple in it.
Mm.
Oh, I'm zoning.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they did it. Well, it was a part of a triple cast that Daryl did.
Yeah.
But those type of masks now scare me even more because of that movie.
Yeah, it's scary. And Scream kind of used one of those masks,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah.
It was scary when it first came out. It's not anymore because everyone uses that Scream mask now. But, yeah, those hard masks are scary. And I saw – this was creepy, but if you look it up, there's a there's like a little capuchin monkey that is begging for money on a corner, and he's wearing one of those masks, but it looks like a baby. Mm-hmm. Face.
Ooh.
It is the creepiest thing I have seen in a long time, because it looks like a little baby, a little furry baby begging for money.
Mm.
It is super creepy. You should really look it up.
Ugh.
It's super creepy. Okay, back to Chris's feedback. I still love how Cameron emulates the two best Jokers ever. The last few times he was Heath Ledger, but in the video, well, he was 100% Mark Hamill. Yeah, I still saw some Heath in there, a little Heath.
Yeah.
But a lot of Mark Hamill.
Mm-hmm.
Never seen a casket used as a battering ram before. All of Jerome's followers in the GCPD remind me of the gremlins in the movie theater watching Snow White. Oh my God, they so do.
Oh.
Nice reference to 89 Batman with the Joker wiping the flesh-colored face paint off.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, perfect reference. The way Jeremiah communicated with Jim via monitor reminds me of Arkham Asylum. Yeah, yeah. Jeremiah's dead eyes in that video is the stuff of nightmares.
Oh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I like how they address the fan theory that the Joker is not insane, but rather super sane. Yeah, uber sane, exactly.
Yeah.
Loved Harvey grabbing beers out of the casket. I did too, Chris. That was so funny. And handing one out.
Yeah.
Very, very, very good episode. He won't get one because Gotham is, quote, just a comic book show, unquote. Mm-hmm. But Cameron Monaghan deserves an Emmy nomination. Yeah, we just talked about that.
Yeah,
I agree.
Agree.
He's excelled in playing essentially three characters, Jerome, Jeremiah, and crazy or super sane Joker Jeremiah. And Joker Jerome as well, so four. Mm-hmm. I felt Tom Cavanaugh deserved a nomination in season one of The Flash as well. You know what? I agree with that, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was so intense. But as usual, the same old boring shows will probably get all the nominations again. Oh, well, just like the Oscars, the Emmys are not for people like me.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to agree, except for last year when Tatiana Maslany won.
Yeah, finally.
Finally. I thought I made a graphic of the board when they nominate people for the Emmys.
Mm-hmm.
And I put Tatiana Maslany's name in all of them because she played clones.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. It runs in the family. Jeremiah gets the Batmobile keys this week. Some people may say that I'm biased towards the Joker. To that, I say yes. Yes, I am. As for the rating, I'm going to give it 9.5 out of 10 Jerome Casket Coolers. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Always great feedback.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you want to leave feedback, here's how you can do it.
To have your feedback heard and read on Gotham Undercover, please submit by our weekly deadline of Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Gotham Undercover. And follow the show on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at GothamGSM. Please send us your feedback at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can type out your thoughts, leave a voice message using the provided SpeakPipe widget, or you can call 304-837-2278. To find the complete list of Golden Spiral Media podcasts and to leave your 5-star reviews, simply go to goldenspiralmedia.com/apple. Now, here are your hosts, Karen and Jeff.
Thank you, John.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
The silver vox.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about the next episode, Jeff.
The next episode is A Dark Knight, One Bad Day. Mm. As Gotham falls into complete anarchy, a team of unlikely heroes will step up to save it. Bullock takes the lead at the GCPD, and Bruce's psychological limits are tested as those close to him are put into danger in the all-new A Dark Knight, One Bad Day episode of Gotham, airing Thursday, May 10th, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on Fox.
Mm.
Yeah, it looks, the promo, you know, I've got it in the blog post, it looks, oh, he's having a very bad day, Bruce is, and so it's going to be interesting, you know, that's our penultimate episode, and it looks, looks
crazy
good.
Crazy town, literally crazy town. And you put the photos on Facebook already or
mm-hmm.
no?
Okay. Yeah, they're up. I'll check today to see if the finale is up, but I kind of guess that they might not be up until after next week.
Yeah, I think it'll be last minute.
Yeah, like because last I checked, they haven't even put up the description for the season finale episode yet. So,
yeah.
But yeah, the photos for next week are up.
Excellent. Oh, crazy town.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait. I really can't wait. And then there's part of me that's like, okay, go really slow. So, yeah, we're in for a treat, I think. And I want to see what they do with the ending of this season.
Mm-hmm.
And then push for renewal, guys. Keep watching.
Yeah.
Play it on your DVRs over and over again. I mean, if you have to set it in the background to watch while you're vacuuming or whatever. But I hope you like it enough to watch it a second time, maybe catch something you didn't see the first time.
Yeah, definitely.
Through. Because there are these little beats that you might want to catch
right,
the second
exactly.
time through. Look at the lighting of certain scenes or try and catch stuff like James seeing that button being pressed and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really fascinating to see. So
yeah, most definitely.
I encourage it. And that being said, you only have to listen to us once if you want, but we're done for this episode and, we will be back next week to talk about One Bad Day.
That's right.